The sermon title, hi everybody first, okay, can you wait to me? Okay, hi. The sermon is Consider Joy, and it's in the midst of trial. This is a passage I always go to, you know, James chapter 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. You know, many are facing trials or facing many trials, you know, many kinds of trials. And the Bible tells us to do something ridiculous in the midst of trial, something that goes against how we feel, that goes against what we think, goes against what the world tells us, against our own flesh. The Bible tells us to consider it pure joy, you know, consider it pure joy. And I was thinking, what is pure joy? It says pure joy, you know, it is something that is not mixed with other things. It is something free of any contamination, pure joy. This is pure joy. So it's something very healthy, in my opinion. You know, it's something very good. And it's like pure food, you know, whole food. It's healthy. The processed food is not healthy. You know, it's mixed with many different chemicals, and it's not healthy at all. But pure joy is very healthy. It will keep us healthy when we face trials of many kind. I think that's why the Bible is telling us, consider it, you know. It helps us, I believe, I'm trying, and in the midst of trial, trying to be joyful. It's not easy. But it keeps you going, right? It keeps you going. It's like a car. You need pure gasoline. If it's mixed with water, it's going to cause the engine a lot of problem. Like pure ethanol, it has to be pure, you know, for the car to run. We need pure joy to give us power when we face trials of many kinds. Pure joy is not about pretending or even positive thinking. It is much more. When it says pure joy, it also means it is very precious. Precious. Like precious metal, pure metal, you know. If you have a pure diamond, it's worth thousands of dollars more than a non-pure diamond. You know, it could be the same size, but if it's pure diamond, it is so much more precious. But for that diamond to become that pure diamond, that precious diamond, you know what? It has to go through a lot of pressure. It has to go through a lot of pressure. You know, and a metal to be pure, it has to go through fire to bring out the purity, to bring out the purity. Most of us know how to be joyful, you know, when there's great provision, when there's success and accomplishment. There is a joy, I think the Super Bowl is coming, you know. There's a joy when your team wins the championship, right? But that's not the joy that James 1 is talking about. It's talking about pure joy. And pure joy is rare. It's rare. It's a joy in the midst of trial. That's when it comes out. Okay, it's a joy that comes out in the midst of trials. And the Bible challenges us to consider it. Can you consider it? Okay. What does it mean to consider it? It won't happen automatically. You know, your joy is automatic when your team wins the championship. It's just automatic. You know, it just comes out automatically. But pure joy is not automatic. We need to take steps to step back to think about it, consider it. You know, you gotta consider it before you get depressed, before you get hopeless, you get stressed and anxious. Before we fall into rebellion, you have to think about it. You have to plan it. You have to be determined to have it. You have to make a hard choice to express it. Okay, this pure joy. When we face trials of many kind, there's an intense spiritual battle with our mind. There's intense spiritual battle with our emotion. Because what you feel, you think. What you think, you feel. Right? But to have pure joy, you need to keep out the lies. You have to keep out the lies. We need to fight the spiritual battle that's trying to bring impure thoughts. Fight the spiritual battle that's trying to bring depression. We need to stop entertaining lies and learn to be influenced by God's truth. We need to take back the territory of our mind and our emotion so that we will be a fertile territory for God's revelation and truth. That's where pure joy comes in the midst of the trial. There's this pure revelation and truth. But you don't have to believe, you know, because in the midst of the trial, there's many wrong thoughts, many wrong emotion, and you don't have to believe everything you think, same with emotion. You don't have to accept everything you feel, because not everything you think and feel is right. Not everything you think and feel is authentic. Not everything you think and feel is reality. Some of the things that you think and feel about yourself are not true. It is wrong. Some of the things that you think and feel about others are wrong. About life, about your circumstances, about God. You know? And so what do we need to consider in whatever you face, you know, as you face trials of many kinds? What are the protection for pure joy? You know, when I lived in Chicago, it was a bad neighborhood. And there were gangs and drug dealers and thieves. So we had a fence in the backyard that you couldn't climb. It was, you know, you couldn't climb. It was made so that people couldn't climb it. We had reinforced doors, you know, and we had multiple locks to, you know, so that our home would be safe. There's three things that I want to talk about today that will keep pure joy, you know, protect that pure joy when you face trials. I want to talk about that three things. Number one, again, it is the greatest thing, it is love. And you know this, but this is in the midst of many trials, this is what you need to hold on to. Not the lies, not the depression, not the fear, but love. But what kind of love? Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 19. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. I pray that you, okay, it's not just hearing or hearing a teaching about love, being rooted. Okay? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Okay? Rooted and established. When something is rooted, you know, a thief, you know, somebody tries to pull it out, you can't take it out. Something rooted. I just saw a tree that's rooted. Okay? You cannot take. So a human, nobody could take that out. Being rooted and no matter what storm comes, you know, that tree is rooted and established in love. So I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Okay? When your love, that love is rooted, there's going to be power. But what kind of love is this? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know his love that surpassed knowledge. You know, it's talking about this knowledge. There's this thinking, you know, depressive, evil, all this lies, right? But this love surpasses this. And what is this love? Christ's love for you. God's love for you surpasses knowledge, all the lies, The lie seems so true. It's like it's not, it's, and you we embrace it like knowledge. It's true. No. The love of God for you surpasses it. And it keeps you rooted. God loves you when you go through trials. You need to repeat that. You need to think it. You need to feel it. Feel it. God loves you when you go through trials. God loves you in the midst of the trial that you're going through. We believe God loves us when there is no trials. That's when you go, oh, it's because God loves me. No, it is in the trial that God loves you. Like our children as parents, they get stressed and anxious about, when there's no Wi-Fi, or something like that. But there are times when they're very, they're going through trials. As a parent, you see that when they're going through real trial. Guess what? As a parent, that's when your heart opens to your kids. When they're really sick all night, that's when you're holding their hand and you're with them. This passage, we are rooted and established in God's love, that in trial, you're going to really understand God's love. We will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Deep is the love of God. A good marriage is not when, you have the best and the easiest and, everything done for you. It is, you will really know the love in the midst of the difficulties. In the midst of the difficulty. Pure joy knows God's love. Pure joy knows God loves me when life seems unfair. Pure joy knows God loves me when I feel lost, when I feel rejected, when I feel lonely, when I feel pain, and even in the midst of death, pure joy knows God loves me. When we are in the valley, it looks like you are the only one in the valley, and it looks like everybody else is on the mountaintop. But pure joy knows God is with me in the valley. Though I walk in the shadow of death, in the valley, I know that you are with me. God is with you when you're going through difficult trial. Pure joy knows in the valley, God will do. Let's believe this. In the valley, God will do the greatest miracle in me. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, talks about Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, there was a reason he endured the cross. God calls you his joy. Because of you, he endured the cross. And it wasn't just, oh man, I need to do this for you. I'm kind of tired. No. He was joyful about this. He was joyful. So much that it was a joy for him to endure the cross. The greatest trial that Jesus went through wasn't 40 days in the wilderness with the devil tempting him in every different way. It was the cross. And when he was thinking about you, he was joyful. He was joyful. See, when you are joyful about something, it means that it is very valuable to you. In a fallen world, our value is through the things that we own, our position, achievement, our physical beauty or performance or imperfection. When you have all those things, we think you are valuable. But those things, you know, again, can be taken away. Someone else will be, you know, there's other people that's more talented. Our beauty fades over time, you know. But what God gives you cannot fade. How much are you worth? You can look, you know, through the eyes of rejection, you know. You can look through the eyes of lies. You could also look through your own thinking and your own feeling, or you can choose to look at Jesus. How valuable am I? How much am I worth? It costs Jesus his life for you. Right? This is how much God loves you. And each point, I have 3 points. And what I want to do is just spend the time with each point, going to ministry. Because you're going through trials, or maybe trials of many kinds. If you're in the valley and you feel all alone, I was looking to the Bible. You know what I do when I look to the Bible? I don't just try to know what it's saying. I put myself there in that situation. If I was God's people, one of God's people, as a slave in Egypt in the book of Exodus, I would really feel abandoned or forgotten. But the Bible says his people cried out for help. And the Bible says God listened to the prayers, their cry. And he listened to them. When I look at the New Testament, the gospel, you know, what if I was one of the Galileans in the time of Jesus? You know, what they said about where Jesus came from, you know, was, can anything good come out of Nazareth, one of the places in Galilee? I'll feel looked down upon, maybe feel not special, maybe forgotten again. But what did Jesus do? He picked all his disciples from Galilee. Yeah, he picked all his disciples from Galilee. Be rooted in the love of Christ. Be established in the love of God. Know how high and wide and deep is the love of God for you in the midst of the trials. Be rooted. Not just say, God loves me. Be rooted in the love of God. This is one of the protection. This is one of the things that's going to bring out the pure joy in the midst of the trial. Make a declaration. It's not easy. It is difficult right now. But I'll never doubt that God loves me. I'm going to be rooted in the love of Christ. And number two is purpose. Okay, in the midst of the trial, purpose. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this. For I know the plans I have for you. This is what God is telling us, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, a trial, what it does is, I've been saying this many times, you know, like the fire the pressure brings out all the impurities, brings out all the impurities. And trials reveals what is inside of our heart. It will bring to surface what stops us from fulfilling God's purpose for our life. I think that's why the Israelite had to go through the wilderness, because God had to take care of all the things that's gonna bring, that will prevent them from fulfilling God's purpose for their life. And so it brought out fear, it brought out lack of faith, it brought out complaining, it brought out, all those things. And what I realize is what stops us is not, we say rejection stops us. Our childhood stops us. Our lack of resource stops us. It's the devil that stops us, spiritual attack that stops us. But there's one, but what I realized, the things that's in our heart, right, the things in our heart stops us. Well, why do I say that? Jesus, again, he had nothing in his heart that would stop him. Jesus. He was hit with rejection. Right? He had a very tough childhood. Can you imagine, you're born and the king of Israel wants to kill you. I had to go to Egypt. Can you imagine coming back home and everybody looked at you, that you were, from a child from adultery, that's what they thought, his neighborhood. He lacked resources, human resources. He was spiritually attacked. And those things did not stop him. Why? His heart did not have anything that would stop him. We have things that we don't want to deal with, things that are hidden, things that are selfish, things that bring shame. And what trials does is it brings it to the surface. And God will allow problems into our life to reveal the motivation that it is out of whack, issues that he wants to redeem. And that's why he brings it out. He wants to redeem it. He wants to redeem it. Some of you run away from it. Not so many people run away. Many people don't want to deal with it. Many people get angry at others when it comes out. Many people fear it. But God wants to redeem it when it comes out. God's not scared of what's in your heart. God's not afraid. God already knows all your issues. Okay, can we say that together? God knows all my issues. Okay. God uses trials so that you and I can identify the problem. It's just that we don't want to deal with it. We want to run away from it. We want to blame other people. We want to close our eyes to it. The prodigal son did not know he was, going the wrong way. He thought he was going the right way in his own mind until he lost all his money. There was a famine and he had nothing to eat. The trial, that severe trial made him turn around. It woke him up. The trial made him go toward his father. And there are things that's coming out. Instead of getting angry at other people, you need to go toward the Father. You need to head toward the Father. The trials in your life, it is not to punish you. It is not because, what I realize is when we stay in rebellion and we're okay with eating the food that the pigs eat, right, that's more miserable. That's not a life. See, the trials in your life, it is not to punish you. It is not because God is mad at you. It is not there because God wants to see you suffer. There's a great purpose. There's a great purpose. It is to change you, to get you on the right path, to prepare you for His purpose and calling. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they said they were led to the wilderness to starve. No, they were in the wilderness. They said, God came, brought us into the wilderness to kill us. No, God did not bring His people into the wilderness to kill them, but God was using the wilderness as a time to build their faith, to build up a strong army, to train the army, a time for God's people to learn how to work together. Why? There was a purpose that God had for them, to conquer their enemy, to give them a land of their own, to give them a lasting inheritance. Let's pray together again. There's a purpose. When you are tired, when you're depressed, when you're lonely, it is hard to see the purpose of God. So let's get rid of it. Let's not listen to it. Let's flee from it. Let's stop listening to it. When you're angry, when you're in rebellion, when you're bitter, it is hard to see the purpose of God. So let's repent from it. Hey, repent. And there, your Heavenly Father is waiting for you. Let's come, go to your Heavenly Father. He says to you, Jesus says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like, refuse to be angry, refuse to rebel, refuse to be bitter, refuse to be depressed. I'm not going to eat the food that the pigs eat anymore. But I'm turning around and heading to my Savior. And as you go nearer to Him, receive His rest right now. You need His rest. Receive His rest. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and move in you. You need to hear God's purpose right now. There's a purpose why you're going through this trial. Hear the Holy Spirit. What is that purpose? And point number three is victory. Victory. Not to crush you, but victory. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Okay, Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It is important to see yourself as God sees you when you're going through trials, not through the, again, mirror of fear, rejection, and shame, but through the eyes of God. And the way God sees us as a Christian is not just a people that will barely hang on or just barely making it to the finish line. God says to us, run in such a way as to win the prize. Run in such a way as to win the prize. Psalm 23, again, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Wow. God prepares a table in the presence of your enemy. In the presence of your enemy. God blesses you. God feeds you. God strengthens you. When in the midst of that spiritual battle, a table, what I got is a banquet. There is a celebration. Why is there a celebration? Because you will be victorious over the spiritual battle, over your enemy. There's a celebration when you win. And your enemy is brought because they lost. David believed that he could defeat Goliath. That was the big difference between all the army of Israel and David. It wasn't the muscle, how strong, how big the muscle, or how they were good at, swinging their sword. It was David believed that he could defeat Goliath. David had no military training. Goliath had been a warrior from his youth. David couldn't carry the armor, the helmet, and the sword because it was too heavy for him. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches. His armor was 125 pounds. His spearhead was 15 pounds. Just the spearhead was 15 pounds. And David defeated Goliath. In the midst of the trial that you're going through, you believe that you can overcome the trial that you're facing. You need to believe it. Believe that God is with you. Believe if God is for you, nothing can be against me. Believe that you are a giant slayer. Let's believe that together. Okay? Let's join our hearts together again. First Samuel 17 about David. Again, there's few passages that I always go to. When I go through trial, I go to James 1. When there's spiritual battle, I go to 1 Kings 17, 1 Samuel 17, And what he said to the Philistines, we did this before, right? And but this is for victory. Right. David said to the Philistine, and this is what we're going to proclaim. You came against me with sword and spear and javelin, many trials, many temptations. Right. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. Just proclaim what David proclaimed. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and completely defeat you. There's going to be victory. Your power is gone. Goliath, your power is gone. Your assignment is broken. And God, when you give us the victory, when you give it to us, all will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give. He's the one who gives me victory. Some of you have this appointed time, you know. And God works with us. But some of you didn't have to go so long in the midst of the trial. You could have overcame like a year ago or 6 months ago or even 5 years ago. Some of you right now need to just proclaim, I'm going to have victory. And it's going to happen. I'm going to overcome. You just need to change your thoughts. You don't have to wait for some, you know, circumstances to change or feel better. God has victory for you right now. Take hold of it. Release the spiritual victory. Release the breakthrough. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.